Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Share. I hope everybody is well and enjoying an uplifting and meaningful week. And if you had any way to commemorate, whether it was a kapitel of Mizmor Lashoda or some kind of community event, or in your tefillah of Modim, Chag Atzmut Sameach, happy 75th birthday to Medina Israel, which allows us to go daven at the Mekomos HaKadoshim, walk in the paths of our Avos and Imahos, access our Gedolim in Bnei Brak, Kivrei Tzadikim in the north, Ein Lanu Eretz Acheres, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Mi Yerushalayim. Bon Hashem should just bless us with the ultimate Geula, because it's time. The ultimate Geula Bekarov, and a Shalom for Kal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So as always, we are learning the Zeichon L'Linush Masa Merim Fron, Merim Baschayim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem Sheva continuously in the schus of these Divrei Torah that we shall share this evening. I thank the Fron family very much for their generous sponsorship of tonight's shir. Shari did not ask me to say this next piece. No one in the Fron family asked me to say this next piece. I thank God noticed last week when I was walking in on the Shari bulletin board that Chazen Fron and Mrs. Fron are being honored at this year's dinner in recognition of his decades as the Chazen at Shari. So if anyone is interested in sharing Hakar Satov to Shari, you can reach out to me and I'm happy to give you their email address. Baruch Hashem I saw it, so I was able to place an ad and give a donation in appreciation and recognition to the Fron family for all the Habatzas HaTorah that they sponsor, Zeicha Nishmas, their mother, Miriam Baschai Mitzvah, Galal Hashem. I'm sure you can find the Shari office online. If anyone is interested, please reach out to me. I get nothing from this. I was not asked to announce this. This is literally out of a Hakar Satov for a family who has been responsible for so many hours of Torah, which has reaches through the Shir Aram across the world. This is Chus Aliyah Neshama for their mother, Allah Hashem. And I hopefully not only that, but it has changed all of us personally in our Avodas Hashem. They are personally responsible. Shari graciously hosts the Shir. And the Fron family graciously and generously sponsors the Shir week in and week out. So again, I was not asked to do this. Really, I'm doing another Karsa Tov, Bishul Bikurim Nivru HaOlam. If anyone is interested, I get nothing from this extra at all. I just think it's a way of showing Karsa Tov to those who do so much for us. Okay, so we are going into our... Okay, Halavai should be beautiful inside and out. Thank you. Okay, we're talking about contemplation. When eating, when davening, when approaching Torah study. That's what we're talking about, contemplation. So we spoke about contemplation when eating. I wonder what everyone's doing with that. Depends on the day, depends on time, depends on the Yom Tov. Okay? Contemplation when going to Tefillah, also in Avodah. Depends on the day, depends on the time, depends on the Yom Tov. And contemplation when approaching Torah study. So we are on actually the top of page 270, clarifying each ratzon in the mixer. So you have to clarify what is your desire in your in the mixture. So in other words, I'm going to let him say it, explain what he means by clarifying each ratzon in the mixture. So the last topics that we just did are contemplation when going to tefillah, and contemplation when approaching Torah study, okay? So the great Ragachavar Gaon famously said, and it's brought down in many places, including in great Jewish saints by Rabbi Bamberger, the Ragachavar Gaon said, when you learn Torah, Hashem is talking to you. When you daven, you are talking to Hashem. So in both of these instances, you need contemplation. If you're going to daven, and you need contemplation when you're going to speak to somebody, you better know what you want to say. You have to think of what you want to say. I was in two Shiva houses today, actually. One, a lot of Shkar Halicha, because it was far away. One less far away, but also far away. And I always ask that Hashem should put the right words into my mouth. So when you have a tefillah, you better contemplate what you're saying, whether it's in the formal structure of the prayer book, the sitter, or it's me'amakei halev when you're walking into a certain matzav and you ask Hashem to put the right words into your mouth. You have to contemplate, otherwise what are you saying? You may as well be speaking a foreign language if you don't know what you're saying. So you need contemplation, certainly when it comes to tefillah, and you also need contemplation when it comes to Torah study. Today we don't have Ruach HaKodesh. We don't have Nevi'im today. If anyone tells you they're Navi, so don't listen to them because they're not mentally stable because there are no Nevi'im today. So when Torah is the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks to us. So when Hashem speaks to us, you also need to be contemplating. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam saying? What does he want from me? Torah includes mitzvos, halachos, das Torah, machshava, hashkafa. You better know what Hashem is telling you. And part of that includes listening to our Rabbanim. Hevei misabek ba'afar raglehim v'shosa b'tzama es divrei. And we should cling to the feet of the Talmidei Chacham tamim of our dor. We should drink with thirst the words, because they tell us what the halacha is. They tell us what the mitzvah is. They tell us what the hanhaga is, what the correct machshavas are. So we have to contemplate Torah study, and we have to have contemplation when we go to tefillah. Now we have to clarify each ratzon, each desire in the mixture. What is the benefit of all of this? So now the mechaber, the author, says, after everything that I've told you, what is the benefit of all of this? So now that you're contemplating, let's say sometimes you are, sometimes you're not, at least you should contemplate. Okay, so before you eat the chocolate, maybe it's not really the right time, but you should contemplate. We spoke about that. Doesn't mean you're always going to make the right choice, but at least you're thinking about what you're doing before you do it. I think I told you, I heard Rabbi Moshe Weinberger say many, many years ago, but it's stuck in my head. I have no idea what the whole rest of the shiur was about. That his mother from Esh Kodesh, his mother would always speak to Hashem, and before she would, like, you know, yell, I don't know the exact words, I'm paraphrasing, but I remember what he would say. She would say, Hashem, forgive me for what I'm about to do, but I'm about to do it. So let's say it's really, you contemplate, I'm going to eat a third piece of chocolate cake. Now really you shouldn't, but at least you contemplate what you did before you did it. Clarifying each ratzon in the mixture. What is the benefit of all of this? Whenever there is a mixture of different ingredients, nothing is recognizable. He's going to give an example of a salad, but a good way of thinking about it is in a cake. When the cake comes out of the oven, eggs are not recognizable, the baking soda is not recognizable. If it is, the cake's very bad. We sift the baking soda and the baking powder, because if you get a clump of one of them in your baked goods, it's not so good. The baking soda is not recognizable, the salt's not recognizable, the vanilla is not recognizable, the eggs and the oil are recognizable. You have a cake. Now, all the ingredients are there, but you can't recognize any of the individual ingredients that went into the cake. Whenever there's a mixture of different ingredients, nothing is recognizable. It takes on a new form, in fact. The cake does not look like eggs, oil, baking soda, baking powder. Okay, cinnamon's recognizable, fine. Salt, flour, it looks like a cake. It doesn't look like a bowl of individual ingredients. Nothing is recognizable. When the desires are not distinct, but mixed up, no ratzon can be clearly sensed. So sometimes you're so overwhelmed by your yetzer that you don't even really know what your ratzon is anymore. You don't know what your desire is anymore. Nothing is distinct. Everything is all mixed up. I was actually speaking to somebody I saw in a certain venue, and she came over to me and she said to me, this is totally anonymous, no one has any way of knowing who she is, Baruch Hashem, I teach really all over the place the whole week, Baruch Hashem. So she came over to me in a certain venue and she said, I'm sorry, don't come to shiur anymore. I hope you're not insulted. I said, I'll be honest, I didn't notice you weren't in shiur. She said, well, now you're going to notice because I told you. I said, you're right, now I am going to notice because you told me. So she said, I just can't, you know, get there right now. So I said, I hope everything's okay. I hope that you're, you know, busy with good things. I hope everything's okay. She said, it's not even physically. She said, I have the time. She said, just my mind. She said, there's so much going on in my life. I just can't get myself to be there. So I said, first of all, if you come back, you're going to realize how important it is. And you might have more yeshuva das. Nicely, wasn't it bad? It was a very friendly, warm conversation. It might have more, your mind might have more yeshuva das. Tranquility of the mind, peace of mind, settled mind, if you come back to shiur, because the Torah will provide you for that. I said, but I totally understand when it's the right time in your life. Of course I'm not. She said, I hope you're not insulted. I said, I didn't even know you weren't there. Of course I'm not insulted. Different things come up in life, but that's a good example. Sometimes you can't even sense, you can't even put your finger on it. You don't even know exactly what's going on, but there's so many things pulling you in so many different directions. Nothing is distinct. At one time, you might have a desire for bodily pleasure. That will surface. At another time, pride will pop up. So he's talking about in terms of Yetzer. This woman obviously was talking about something very different, whatever matzav she's going through in life, or matzavim, situation she's going through in life, she's finding overwhelming. Here he's talking about being overwhelmed by a number of different yetzer haras at the same time. So one time you might have a desire for bodily pleasure, so that's the four pieces of chocolate cake. At another time, pride will pop up. You want someone to give you cover. At another time, there will be desire to serve Hashem. That's positive. I desire to serve the Baal Hashem, and so on. There'll be a mixture of desires. So I give an example of a cake. The author gives an example like a salad. Okay, you know, I know a few people, my husband amongst them, who do not like salad dressing on their salad. Do you know anyone who doesn't like salad dressing on their salad? Yes? Oh, you could actually do a poll. Did you know that? No, this Zoom account doesn't have the pointer. It doesn't have polls, P-O-L-L-S, not like North Pole and South Pole. But some Zoom accounts, my personal one has a pointer, which I like very much, and I'm screen sharing. I also has polls. Did you know you could do a Zoom on poll on Zoom, P-O-L-L? Okay. Do you know anyone who doesn't like salad dressing on their salad? I do, because my husband doesn't like salad dressing on a salad. I don't remember where we were recently. Yes, I do remember where we were recently. We were hosted by another family so graciously, and they said that the husband doesn't like dressing on a salad. I said, oh my gosh. And my husband said, I also don't like dressing on the salad. So before they dressed the salad, they brought it to the table, they left two portions, one for him and one for him. Why am I bringing this up? Because what the author is going to say is when the salad's all mixed up, you can taste the individual ingredients. So I find the better analogy to that is when there's no dressing on the salad. I say, imagine, how could you eat salad without dressing? So he says, then you don't taste the vegetables. I don't know. To me, I can't. It's different time. So you must separate each ratzon, and you have to understand that everything needs to be individual. Don't dump dressing on top of your salad because you're just covering up the flavor of the cucumber, tomato, chickpeas, peppers, boiled egg. Don't just dump dressing. Taste what's going on in here. Tamu, ruki, tov hashem. You have to taste individual ingredients in your life. You have to identify what's happening inside of you. Otherwise, it's just one big conglomerate. You know the word I'm trying to say? What?
Conglomeration.
Did I say it right? Thank you. Otherwise, it's just one big, so that's conglomeration, but it's conglomerate of a whole mix, and you don't even know what you're tasting. You know, sometimes you're just eating, you don't even know what you're eating. You have to separate each ratzon. You have to understand. It's funny. He goes back to food. In his example of separating your ratzon, he's back at food. Then each ratzon will have its own strength. Each desire will have its own strength. And you'll have clarity. You'll have light in each one. To give a simple illustration, if you eat a salad made of tomatoes, red peppers, green beans, cucumbers, and lettuce, okay? Red pepper, green bean, cucumber, lettuce, sounds very yummy, and tomatoes. The mixture might be enjoyable, but you will not really taste each individual ingredient. So I'm going to add there, it should have a salad dressing. When it doesn't have salad dressing, then you can really taste each individual ingredient. But most people put salad dressing, and then you might not even know what's in there, especially if there's too much dressing. It's just going to take like Caesar dressing. You're not going to taste the cucumber so much. So the same applies to one's soul, neshama, S-O-U-L. When the wills are mixed up, when you have so much confusion in your avodas Hashem, when you can't really identify where you're holding, what you want, when the wills are mixed, not a single ratzon can attain true force and give forth its proper light. And it's so important. I'm not saying I have it, but that's why a person needs yishuv hadas and menuchas hanefesh. Yishuv hadas is yishuv, rest of the mind, and menuchas hanefesh is tranquility of the soul.
Peace.
I know I was trying to translate it literally. Yishuv Hadas is not literally peace of mind. Yishuv Hadas would be rest or cessation of the mind. And Menuchas HaNefesh, peace, not literally peace, also, okay, we know what they mean. Your mind should be at ease, your soul should be at ease, but that can only come with clarity. And if everything is mixed up inside of you, not a single ratzon can attain its true force, and nothing will give forth its proper light. And then you find your heads in so being pulled in so many places. I can't come to shir. I can't. Even this person said to me, it's so interesting. She said to me, even one of her children sent her, "Mommy, you always used to bring your notebook to the Shabbos table. You always had a Dvar Torah to share. What happened?" So I'm not passing any judgment or saying anything. I totally understand, and I've been through them also, that there are many times in life where a person is just so overwhelmed that sometimes that sense of overwhelming overtakes us and it detracts us from being able to do what we can healthfully do. And that's why it's so important that each thing in our life, we have to identify how we're feeling. We have to identify the nisayon. We have to identify the ratzon. Each one becomes distinct when it's no longer intermingled. And then all mixed up in a mixture, each ratzon, desire, will reveal its true nature. When a ratzon is distinct, a desire is distinct, you can work with it. So in other words, what's the point of all of this? You have to understand what's going on inside of you in order to work on yourself for avodas Hashem. If everything's all mixed up and you have no tranquility of the soul and no peace of mind, and you can't identify the problem. First, if you want to work on something, you have to identify what the problem is, and then you have to work on it. But if you don't even know what the problem is, you're so overwhelmed by this whole mixture, you can't even work on it. So what you need to do, the whole point, he's saying, of contemplation, whether it's eating, or prayer, tefillah, davening, or it's limud haTorah, the point of contemplation is to give you clarity. Clarity is sometimes something often in the day and age in which we live that's very hard, difficult to achieve and attain without Nevi'im, without Ruach HaKodesh, without the Urim V'tumim. It's very difficult to have the clarity of what Hashem exactly wants from us, where we should be headed, what the right decision is. The Gemara says in Tamid, the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, Tamid 32a, Lamed Beis Aleph, who is a wise person, haroa es hanoled, one who can see the outcome of his actions. If you have clarity, you're a wise person who can see the outcome of their actions. I find it exceptionally difficult to see the outcome of my actions. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, and then you realize the outcome is, whether it's Ben Adam Mechavir or Ben Adam Makom, this was not the right thing to do at all. That's because we're in Galus, and there's a Mechitzas HaBarzel, there's an iron partition that separates between us and God. There is no Ruach HaKodesh or Urim V'Turim on the breastplate of the high priest in the temple, where the letters would light up when you had a Shaila. It's very difficult, but a person has to try and have each Ratzon as being distinct. Then you can work with yourself. You have to know what's happening inside of me. What do I need to work on? How could you work on something if you don't even know what you need to work on? If it's all mumble-jumble, that it's the voice of the HR, like the background noise of a radio, it's like background noise, you don't even know what they're saying. So how could you possibly identify my chisaron, my weakness, and start working on it? If it is not distinct, you cannot. Okay. So I'm going to put this all together with a pasuk from Yeshayahu. When I was preparing for Shir, the pasuk from Yeshayahu came to me. Why? Because the author here speaks repeatedly about the ratzon. Listen without interruption, okay? I'm not going to read the whole thing. A few sentences. Listen, this is only three short paragraphs. It's less than half a page. When the desires are not distinct but mixed, no ratzon can clearly be sensed. You must separate each ratzon and understand it. Then each ratzon will have its own strength and light. When wills are mixed, not a single ratzon can attain true force. Once each one becomes distinct, each ratzon will reveal its true nature. When a ratzon is distinct, my point in doing that is, why settled? Their mind is settled. That's a good translation also. So this reminded me of a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Vav. Pasuk Zayin, Yeshayahu, Isaiah 56:7. You all know the pasuk, I think, because it was made into a very beautiful song. But the repeated focus on identifying your ratzon in Avodas Hashem reminded me of the Havyosim al Har Kodshi, the Simachtim Beveis Tfilasi, Olaseim Vizivchehem, LeRatzon Amizbechi. And then I was really smiling. I thought of it because of the word ratzon. Constantly, he's talking about slaughtering your desires to serve God. The Korbanos are slaughtering a prototype of ourselves to serve God. But why? Before this, we read about tefillah. Ki beisi beis tefillah yekar lecholamim. So I think that pasuk from Tanakh, perhaps, so beautifully sums up, and I'm going to talk about it for a minute. I'm going to talk about the pasuk. This idea of v'aviyosim ahar kachi v'simachim v'veis tefillasi olosem v'zimchem l'ratzon amaz b'chi. So let me translate what the pasuk means. Vaviyosim el har kodshi, I will bring them to my holy mountain. Ay, so apropos for the 75th birthday since the birth of the state of Israel. Why? Because we've all been zocheh to walk the streets of Eretz Yisrael. I hope. And daven mekomos kadoshim. Kivrei tzadikim. See the beautiful land that the Ribbono Shel Olam created. The Eretz Zavas Chavu Dvash, the land of the Shivas Haminim, the land of Mitzvos Hatuyos Ba'aretz. It's not a full geula. It's not a full geula at all, as the past few months have shown us with so many karbetos. This is not a full geula. Not a full geula. We long for the day, v'aviyosim el har kodshi, I'll bring them to my holy mountain. The holy mountain's not in our hands. Doesn't matter what they said in 1967, arbay be'adenu. Shu'alim hilchuba, even today. V'simachtem beveis tfilasi. I'll make them rejoice in my house of prayer. Ola same vizivchem leratzon amiz bechi. Their ola offerings, their burnt offerings, vizivchem, their zvachim offerings, will be an appeasement for a desire upon my altar. Ki beisi beis tefila. My house is a house of prayer. Yekar lechala amim. Call out to all the nations. At the end of days, all the nations will recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not only Klal Yisrael, every nation of the world will recognize. Bayal ba mahu yashem echad ushma echad. And we're still waiting. I personally find it difficult, personally. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. I don't understand. I don't like to be political. Someone made an interesting comment to me the other day. She said, you know, how many from Yidden celebrate Thanksgiving? Because you have Kakar Satov to the state that lets you live there and practice religious freedom. That was a very interesting point. So, we have a tremendous gift. I find it hard to believe that if, God forbid, Jordanians or the British were in charge of the land, God forbid, you'd be able to walk with such ease, live there with such ease, Kimitzi and Teitzei Torah. Demir, Panovich, Beitar, Gedolim. You have to have a Karsa Tov for the gift of a Medina in the Jewish land that allows us to do and practice and be present, enjoy the Makomos HaKadoshim. Tremendous Matana. I heard Sivan Rachav Meir speak last night. It was very hard for me to understand most of what she said because she has a strong Israeli accent and I have a hearing loss, so that does not go well together. Nothing bad about it anyway. Just by default, I just couldn't. One thing she says, imagine a Jew, I understand, in 1200, in the Middle Ages, in some living a life under the, what is it called? My boys always like to say the word, you know, the landowner, the wealthy pirates, living under the pirates, etc. Our life, such a huge amount of taxes. They were always being expelled from one country and another, and the book burnings, the Talmud burnings. So what did he think when he sat on Leil HaSeder L'Shana Babi Yerushalayim? What did he think at the end of the day? What did he think on Leil Yom Kippur when he said L'Shana Babi Yerushalayim? They couldn't even imagine. What could that possibly mean in 10 hours? First of all, they didn't know what airplanes were. They thought, we are crazy. In 10 hours, you could be in for 10 hours from when you take off, you'll land in Eretz Yisrael. And then, I don't know if you've taken it, the train from Ben Gurion Airport for 16 and a half shek, it takes 21 and a half minutes, and you're going to be in Yerushalayim. What would they have thought? They would have thought you were a crazy person. You're a false prophet. Why do they say this? Because I quoted the pasuk from Yeshayahu, which reminds me of everything that we're speaking about, which describes not a partial geula, but a complete geula. So we're talking about prayer, Torah learning, and identifying your ratzon. So before I get into speaking about that pasuk more particularly, I want to quote an article. So we're going to be talking about tefillah / ratzon. Okay. I don't know if anyone saw this. It was in Mishpacha Pesach edition. The author is Rabbi Aaron Cutler, not Rav Aaron Zatzal. I'm sure you've heard of this Rabbi Aaron Cutler. I believe he's a grandson of Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal. He's the president emeritus of Beis Medrash Gevul Nekwad, okay, on the business side of the yeshiva. Destination, Frankfurt International Airport. I was in the airport in Frankfurt on a stopover, headed to Lithuania on a classic Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald mission. He was a huge Oscan, Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald, Zichrono Levracha, founder of camps, reached out to children who no one else reached out to. He was a tremendous person. Okay, so Rabbi Aaron Cutler was in the airport in Frankfurt on a stopover, headed to Lithuania on a classic Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald mission, a mix of spycraft and diplomacy, with the constant overriding objective of increasing Kavod HaTorah. Our goal is to protect a treasure trove of hundreds of Sifrei Torah stolen by the Nazis, along with hundreds of thousands of Sfarim and Kisvei Yad, stolen by the Nazis. I know, it's... The New York Times had published an article about this Judaic collection. When the Nazis had intended to use as exhibits for the museum, they would set up to commemorate the world they planned to destroy. I don't know if you're aware, this is actually crazy because when I was walking in here, my son earlier in the day sent me some WhatsApps and I didn't have time to look at them. I was busy driving all over the place. So I didn't have time to reply. So I replied and I actually quoted, the Nazis plan to make a museum to the distinct Jewish... Distinct, but that's not what they wanted to call it. They planned a museum for the extinct Jewish race. And when we were in the Simon Wiesenthal Center in LA before COVID, we went to LA quite a few falls in a row, sometimes multiple times in the same fall, and they have a Simon Wiesenthal Center. It's like Jewish education and Holocaust education. So they have a few. They have a talis, a Sefer Torah, but on one talis, I took a picture of it, it's stamped in the corner with a stamp that says Waffen SS. It's a stamp, an insignia, Waffen SS. Why was the talis stamped with Waffen SS? Because the plaque said they was planned to be in the museum. They were going to display artifacts of the extinct Jewish race. So these Kisvei Yad means... manuscripts written by hand, and Jewish Sfarim, Jewish books, and Sifrei Torah, Torah scrolls, were plundered and stolen by the Nazis, and they were intended to be used in an exhibit for the museum they would set up to commemorate the world they were going to destroy. After the war, the Sefer Torah's firm languished in a damp basement of a decaying Vilna church for over 50 years. Now Rabbi Greenwald was determined to restore these Sefer Torah and holy books to Jewish hands. It was time for Shacharis, and we were a group of four. Frankfurt Airport, Germany's largest, is a busy place, and I thought perhaps we could find one of those airport meditation rooms, they have them today in the airports, and use it to daven. When I stopped a middle-aged policeman, and I asked him in my rudimentary German, if he knew where I might find a prayer room, his response was chilling. He looked at me with vacant blue eyes, and in a coarse, guttural German, he said, "Wir haben kein Judenschein Synagogen, wir haben sie alle 1938 niedergebrannt. We don't have any Jewish synagogues. We burnt them all in Kristallnacht in 1938. Now that insight reflected but the slightest shadow of what our people, including my own family, suffered and endured. And it got me mad. I walked back to Ronnie, who was standing in the middle of a busy concourse, and I shared with him the German's words. He responded, "Let's daven right here." I said to him, "Ronnie, let's find a quiet corner." "No, here is the best spot," he responded. Then he looked over at the check-in counters, which were even busier, and he said, "That's where we will all daven." I knew Ronnie had real-life experience with Nazis. As a personal friend of Wolfgang Vogel, a top spy in the East German Stasi, a KGB counterpart, Ronnie attended Wolfgang's 80th birthday party, which was a spy fest, and many Stasi spies, including SS officers, were there. Okay. So I dutifully followed Ronnie. We began to daven. Only Ronnie was in no mood for quiet tefillah. He began to daven in the loudest voice possible, chuckling. He acted as if he were back in Muncie's Sotmir Shtibel. I wanted to shush him, but I knew better. You don't shush a man who convinced the communists to free great Jewish refuseniks like Yosef Mendelevich, Elio Esses, and Natan Sharansky. You don't shush a man who dined with dictators and presidents alike, a man who is the confidant of some of the most illustrious men and most unsavory creatures to have walked this planet. And so he davened, we davened, very loud. Two young Israelis, comfortable in their dreadlocks, tattoos, and seemingly in their hardcore secularism, passed by, and they started to berate us. "You Haredim have no social skills, no situational awareness, no sense of propriety. We know you need to pray, but can you find a nice corner?" And he capitalizes here, so maybe the Haredim, the secular Jews, were screaming at them. "Can't," because it's in capitals, it's in block letters. "Can't you find a nice corner to do your religious business?" Emotionally, Ronnie shared with them what the police officer had said to us. And the two Israelis, who a minute ago were berating us, asked us if they could put on tefillin, and they began to daven with us, aloud. The six of us. We were four short of a minion, but we created quite a stir. Unwittingly, the thug in the airport stirred us to daven with a real heart, aloud, with all our senses, to our Father in heaven. I think it's a, first of all, unbelievable story. It also ties together Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut. What a modern day Jewish state does give us with all of its, I don't live there, I shouldn't say, the failings that people perceive and that the Gedolim address. But it's incredible. And through tefillah and through the German's comment, these Jews who could not be more different, two Israelis, two Americans, two secular, two Haredim, were brought together. And when they heard what the Germans said, "We don't have any synagogues. We destroyed them all in Kristallnacht, 1938. They asked to put on tefillin. And they all came together and they daven. Last night, I'm upset I didn't take a picture of it. And I thought of it at the time. in one of the slides when Sivan Rechameir was speaking. So the two Paley brothers were murdered at the Ramah bus stop, followed by the two Yaniv brothers, Hillel and Yigal Yaniv, followed by the two D sisters, and of course their mother. And what a lot of people are speaking about, including the families, is the fact that we're brothers, and Klal Yisrael needs to know that we are all brothers. No matter how different from each other we may be, we are all brothers. I don't know if you heard about it. I had already heard about it because our rabbi, Rabbi Willig, actually spoke about it. I think it was his Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. On the secular date, because I Googled it last night, April 11th, two more siblings, it was not a terror attack, two siblings, a brother and a sister, were swept away hiking. You know, Israelis go tons of hikes. In southern Israel, there was flooding, and they were swept away by the floods. I want to see if I still have the page open. I closed the page. They were swept away while hiking, and they were killed. They died, a brother and a sister. And it was on the screen last night. I should have taken a picture of it because I wanted the exact quote. But before this incident where they went hiking and they were killed, swept away, died, lost their lives, niftar, the brother posted on Facebook in Hebrew. And what he posted was, "When will everyone around here realize that we are all brothers?" It was in Ivrit. It was after three sets of siblings had been murdered. He posted, it was in Hebrew. She, Sivan Rechav Meir, is a reporter. And it was in one of her slides. And it wasn't Ivrit, but what the quote was is, "When will everyone around here realize that we are all brothers?" How did I come to this? Because I'm talking about tefillah. Ki beisi beis tefillah yikara lechol ha'amim. And I brought you this unbelievable story and how Jews are all brothers. So let us talk about this pasuk from Yeshayahu, which came to mind when, yeah.
It's a good time of year because it's Sfira.
I can't hear.
It's Sfira, so it's a good time to talk about
it. It's Sfira Sa'omer. That's exactly right. How apropos. It's Sfira Sa'omer. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a very difficult Gemara to understand. There are many ways to understand it. And also, this week's Sedra is Kedoshim. And in Kedoshim, chapter Perek Yotas, Pasuk Yotas, Lo Sika Velo Sitras B'nei Mecha, Va'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, Ani Hashem. And what does Rashi say, Va'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, Amar Rabbi Yekiva, Zekal Gadol V'Torah. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. And the great Tana, Rabbi Akiva, from personal experience, perhaps he knew. He said this is a great principle of Torah. To love for your fellow what you love for yourself is one of the greatest principles of Torah. Very nice. Very nice. I heard, I was listening to Rabbi Shai Schechter speak, and he said, he quoted, I was listening to Shir online. Maybe some of you heard it. I'm just going to re-quote it. It's worth telling. And he quoted a speech that Natan Sharansky, because I also thought of it in the middle of spring, because Rabbi Aaron Kotler quotes Rabbi Greenwell did tell free Natan Sharansky. So Natan Sharansky spoke a few years ago on Yom HaAtzma'ut. And he told over there was a female refusenik. I don't know if you know the story. There was a female refusenik. And she was arrested and tried for treason against Mother Russia. What was her crime? She tried to steal an airplane to fly to Israel. There's no Matmid points, frequent flyer. There's no air miles. There's no deals. There's no sales. There's no Dan deals, copyright. Tried to steal an airplane so she could get to Eretz Yisrael. And she was arrested. And she was tried. And she had a very harsh sentence. And right before she was sentenced, they said to her, "Do you have anything to say in your defense in the Russian court?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And then she sat down. This is what Natan Sharansky told over. And then Natan Sharansky said when he was sentenced at his trial, They also said to him, do you have anything to say? And he said, to you, the judges, I have nothing to say. You're corrupt, and I know I'm being sentenced. But to my wife and to Am Yisrael, I have one thing to say. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habnuya. Okay, what's with this pasuk from Yeshayahu? Since it came to mind because the Mechaber quotes Ratzon, 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 Ratzon six times in three short psukim. And we're talking about tefillah and Torah learning. This pasuk, I think, encapsulates this idea of Avodas Hashem. I'll bring them to my holy mountain. I'll make them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their zavach offerings will be for a ratzon, an appeasement, a desire upon my altar. Because my house is a house of prayer to be called for all nations. So it's a beautiful pasuk that's made into a beautiful song, so many of us are familiar with it. So I went to look up, when I was preparing Shira, the preceding psukim, to see exactly what this was talking about. And I thought about, who is Vahaviyosim al-Har Kodshi? Who is the Navi saying, I will bring them to my holy mount? Who are we talking about? The Simachtim Beveis Tefilasi. Now clearly we're talking about something maybe more than just Jews, because it says, Ki Beisi Beis Tefila Yekara L'chol Ha'amim. Okay, so who are we speaking about? So this is very interesting. Again, it's Perek Nunvav, Pasuk Zayin in Yeshayahu. So I'm quoting from the Steinsaltz Ketuvim, Henny Wolf. I see your name here. I get a lot of use out of the Steinsaltz Tanakh that you gave me. I just quoted from it on Tuesday in a Shir on Kohelas. Okay, Henny Wolf gifted me the stat of Steinsaltz Tanakh, and thank you. Okay, so who are we talking about over here? The following prophecy... Okay, it's only Perek Zayin and Pasuk Nun Vav. The following prophecy continues to call to Israel to return to God. How does it begin? Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Shimru Mishpat Va'asu Tzedakah. Maintain, guard justice, and do righteousness, Ki Krova Yeshu Asi, because my salvation is close. Ki Krova Yeshu Asi Lavo, my salvation is close to come. V'tzid Kasi Lihigalos, and my righteousness is about to be revealed. Are we not waiting for the day when God's salvation is close? And his righteousness is going to be revealed. Ashrei Enosh Ya'asezos. Fortunate is the man. Enosh is one of the words in Tanakh for man. Fortunate is the man who does this. Uben Adam Yachzigba. And the son of man who strengthens himself in this. What? Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. He who guards the Sabbath to ensure it does not profane. I don't remember. I don't go through the whole Birkon. But that is a quote. We say that in Zmiros on Shabbos. I don't remember Zemer. If you do, you could tell me. No problem. I did not sit and go through the whole bench or to look over Zemer. Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. We're all going to notice this Shabbos when we say that the Shabbos table in Zmiros. We're going to say, oh, there it is. It's from Yeshayahu Perek Nunvav Pasuk Beis. Shomer Shabbos Mechalo, he guards the Shabbos from ensuring it is not profaned. V'shomer yado ma'asos kora, and guards his hand from doing any bad. Okay. So what did Hashem say? So says the Lord God, guard justice and guard righteousness and do justice, because my salvation is close to coming and my righteousness is going to be revealed. Fortunate is the man who does this. Who does what? Shimu mishpa v'asu tzedakah. Uben Adam Yachzikba, the son of man who strengthens himself in it. Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo, guard the Sabbath from being profaned. V'shomer yado ma'asos kora, guard your hand from doing anything evil. V'al Yomer Ben Hanecher Oh. I thought this was very interesting. So again, I'm preparing for the Shir. I'm looking up these psukim. I've never learned this before. V'al Yomer Ben Hanecher. The non-Jew shall not say, Hanilvel Hashem. What is Nilvel? I mean, he wants to come close to Hashem. Va'al Yomer ben Hanecher Hanilva El Hashem, like Levaya, to accompany. The son of the non-Jew who wants to accompany to God, come close to God, should not say Lamer, Havdel Yavdileni Hashem, Alamo Hashem has separated me from his nation. Va'al Yomer Hasaris Heinani Eitzyavish. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce this word. You also have it in Achashverosh's palace. Saris, I always say chamberlain, but it's really a different word. How do you pronounce it?
Eunuch,
I have no idea how you pronounce it. So I actually Googled the definition of eunuch. Oh no, why is it 9/11? Because time waits for no man. Eunuch, you're right, it is. A man who has been castrated, especially one employed to guard the woman's living quarters in an Asian court. Okay? So now the Navi is saying to the non-Jew and to the eunuch, the Saris, the Saris says about himself, Hein ani etz yavesh. Now it makes sense. I'm a dried up tree. Why? Because just like a dried up tree cannot give fruit, he's saying about himself, I cannot bear fruit. Ki ko amar Hashem lo Saris. Asher yishmeru ashab sosai, because so says Hashem to the eunuch who guards my Sabbath. Ubacharu basher chafatzi, and has chosen that which I've desired. Umachzikim b'vrisi, and they strengthen in my bris. So what is this talking about? God is talking to the eunuch. God is talking to the non-Jew. Interesting footnote, or not footnote, clarification. Several verses in Tanakh mention, that some of the men of Yehuda who were exiled to Babel, including Daniel, became eunuchs in the court of the Babylonian king. It is possible they were physically rendered eunuchs, or they were practically unable to procreate as they were completely dedicated to the service of the king. It is therefore possible that the promise expressed in this prophecy was fulfilled through Daniel and his colleagues who remained dedicated to God and have been recorded for all of history. Right, so that's one interesting opinion of who we are actually speaking about here. They have, despite their situation, Yishmu Ashab Sosai, they have guarded my Sabbath, Ubacharu Basher Chavatzi, they have chosen what I have desired, Umachzikim Bevisi, and they are strong in my covenant. Venasati Lahem Bevesi, Ubichomosai Yad Vashem Tov, Mi Banu Banos, and I will grant them, I will give them in my house and in the walls. Tivne Chomos Yerushalayim, Yad Vashem. Oh my gosh, that's where it comes from.
Wow, yeah.
Okay, so this year's bring a lot of things together. I will give them a hand and a name, Vashem Tov, Mibanim Mibanos. I will grant them a hand and a better name than sons and daughters. Komekade Shivi'i, thank you so much. Yes, and we sing it in our home. Thank you. Thank you. Did you remember that, or you went to look through the bencher for me? Sherry Dagani, did you remember or did you go look through the bencher? Thank you. Now I'll think about it this Friday night. She went to look it up. It was the first one after Leil Kiddush, so you didn't have to Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Eisimcha Katarsa Sveikos, thank you. Then Asati Lam Bevesu B'chomasa Yad Vashem, I will give them in my house and in my walls a name, a hand, and a good name, Mibanu Mibanos. Remember, they are either physically eunuchs or by situation eunuchs. I will give them a name better than sons and daughters. Shem Olam, an eternal name. Eteno, I will give them asher lo yikareis, that will not be cut off. Ubnei hanecher hanilvim al Hashem, and the sons of the non-Jews who stream, who cling, who come, who accompany God, l'sharso, to serve him. Ulahava Hashem Hashem. Could you imagine when the nations of the world are going to be like this? Ulahava Hashem Hashem, lioso lavadim. And they love the name of God, and they want to be his servants. Kol shomer Shabbos mechalalo umechzikim bevrisi. All those who guard my Sabbath to ensure it will not be profaned and strengthen my covenant. So if you notice, there's repeated emphasis here on guarding the Sabbath from being profane. Okay, Steinzelt's Ketuvim commentary. Sabbath observance is mentioned repeatedly in this prophecy because it is the most overt indicator that a member of Israel remains faithful to the covenant with God. That's true, by the way. How do we define, I don't know if today, how do we define a firm person, or how did they used to define a firm person? You didn't say, are they Shomer Kashrus? What would you say? Are they Shomer Shabbos? Shmir Shabbos, Sabbath observance, is mentioned repeatedly in this prophecy because it is the most overt indicator that a member of Israel remains faithful to the covenant of God. Sabbath is one of the most difficult commandments to observe for one who has not become accustomed to it. So for us, we may not think it's one of the most difficult commandments to observe. In fact, you might wait the whole week for Shabbos. Hayom yom shlishi b'Shabbos Shabbos. Hayom yom revi. Hayom yom chamishi. You can't wait. Yom revi, in fact, if you notice, at the end of Shir Shalom, we say the chun aranana. It's because Shabbos is coming. Look at what we said it today, but go look. You'll see. But for someone who is not accustomed to it, it's extremely perplexing and extremely difficult. Its observance demands more than just a change of perspective. It places a heavy burden on the individual, particularly in an environment that does not observe a day of rest. Sabbath observance is not just a few minutes of prayer. It's a full day, which one refrains from any materially productive melechus mashavis activity. Consequently, Shabbos observance is the greatest indicator that one is committed to the covenant with God and to the fulfillment of his will, and that it does not suffice with empty proclamations. So therefore, Shabbos is mentioned repeatedly because it's a barometer of a person's faithfulness and commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam Torah. Because you could be committed, I don't know, to pray for, right, go to the synagogue morning, afternoon. But Shabbos is that 26-hour period where there are so many halachos and so many mitzvahs. And then, after we speak about guard justice, do righteousness, because my salvation is close to coming, and my righteousness is going to be revealed. Fortunate is the man who does this, and the son of man who strengthens this, Shomer Shabbos Mechalo, Koma Kadesh Shavi, who guards the Sabbath from being profaned, and guards his hand from doing bad, and the son of the Gentile who streams to Hashem should not say, oh, God separated me from his people. And the eunuch should not say, I am a dried up tree, because so says the Lord to the eunuch, who guards his Sabbaths, and those who choose what I desire, and strengthen my covenant. And we saw that this might be referring to Daniel. And I will give him in my house and in my walls Yad Vashem. Me shame told me banim mi bados. That's very interesting, actually, that Yad Vashem is named after this. You know why? Because those kedoshim, so many of them, were not fortunate to banim mi bados. Why? Why? We know why. Yad Vashem told me, Banu mi bano, Shem Olam, this will be their eternal name, Eteno Asher Lo Yikares, the name that will not be cut off. And the sons of the Gentiles who stream, who come, who accompany God to serve him, to love his name, to be to him for servants. Kol Shomer Shabbos Mechalolo, again, Mechziki Bevisi, something very, very interesting here. One more, Steinzelt Ketuvim. Oh my gosh, I'm over. Steinzelt Ketuvim says something very interesting. It is possible that these verses refer to individuals, because I was learning through these psukim, I was perplexed, because a ben necher is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Interesting pshat. It is possible this is referring to individuals who have begun the conversion process, and they are in the midst of observing, learning about Shabbos, but they have not completed the process, and therefore they're still members of other nations. I thought that was very interesting. And now we come to V'havi Osem El Har Kodshi. I will bring them to my holy mount. V'simachtem Beveis Tfilasi. I will make him rejoice in my house of prayer. Olo Seim, their Ola offerings. V'zivcheim, their Zvachim offerings. L'ratzon, for an appeasement, for a desire. Al Mizbechi. I'm just going to translate that pasuk with the Steinzelt commentary. I'll bring them to my holy mount, and I will bring them to enjoy to my house of prayer by answering their prayers there. Their burnt offerings and their peace offerings will ascend on my altar. Even if they choose to cling to me only partially by retaining the status of the Bnei Noach, they have a place with me, where my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Likewise, I will accept the offerings that Gentiles will bring to the temple. So this very beautiful pasuk that's made into a very beautiful song is really referring to a beautiful time when not only Klal Yisrael will recognize the Ribono Shel Olam, but V'Haya B'Yom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. Not only will we recognize Klal Yisrael, but all the nations of the world will also recognize the dominion of the Melech Malchim, Lachim, the King of all kings. They too will stream to the holy mountain. They too will want to be involved in the recognition and service of God as the Adon HaKol, the Borei Kol, the sustainer of all. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to see the ultimate and the final Geula. When will everybody around here recognize that we are all brothers? So we thank the Frum family. I really went over very, very much. Yes, we daven for that every day in Eleinu, correct. Miriam Frum, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, the Shem Shav and Aliyah, in the schus of these Divrei Torah that we share. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras Tovas and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov. Thank you.